Charlie and a few of their friends. Chug a couple beers and talk politics. It's better with your two beers in.
How is everyone doing tonight?
I'm running with a keg. Not a keg. It's a pitcher.
Thanks so much for coming out, everybody.
I forgot if it was a keg or a pitcher. Oh,
gosh. Oh, God. Wow, we host a show with beer in the title, and you don't know the difference between a keg and a pitcher.
It would be funny if I was running with a keg. That would be funny.
That would be funny. Yeah. Thanks for coming out, guys. My name is Charlie Todd. This is Cody Lindquist.
Hello. We are a married couple. Wow, no one likes marriage. Okay, cool. Wow, tough crowd for marriage. Anyone get divorced today? It feels like maybe that happened.
We love politics. We love drinking beer. And we love talking with our friends while we're a little tipsy on beer. We've been drinking backstage with some very great panelists.
Oh, my gosh. You know, we've been having some great conversations backstage. We try to keep the political stuff for the stage, but... A lot of great
just
stuff
sex
already.
Talk backstage. Just talking
sex.
About sex.
Talking about lots of sex. Wow, no one likes sex here either. This is a tough crowd. No marriage and no sex.
So yeah, let's bring our panelists up. What do you say?
Let's do
let's have a little panel music here.
From Borat to Jenna Friedman.
Our next guest is a correspondent at Full Frontal with Samantha Blee. Please welcome Mike Brown.
From The Daily Show, Zubin Parang.
And a writer from Late Night with Seth Meyers. Please welcome Allie Horde.
No one trip over the pitcher that I've strategically placed in the middle of the stage. Hi, everyone. Thank you guys so much for being here, for drinking with us,
How
for chatting with
is
us.
This carpet? Is this
I think it's okay to spill things on it.
I feel like even
caveat's yeah. Like, no, do not spill anything
even cheap
on it.
Carpets are like still like almost $1,000. I'm very worried about this.
You have not been to Target.com.
I have not.
But Zubin is Iranian, so you could maybe tell us that this is a Persian rug.
As an Iranian, I have a natural respect for carpet, so I don't want to mess anything up. It's very important to me.
I don't know what I think about that comment, Charlie.
Well, we wanted to kick off the show once again talking about the old coronavirus and check in with everybody. You guys heard about this thing, COVID-19? You guys hear about this?
We've been trying to leave it behind, but it just keeps following us everywhere we go.
I wanted to confess to everyone that I got an illegal Moderna booster last Monday.
And I want to confess that I got an illegal Moderna booster on Tuesday.
Wasn't it recommended you guys get it, though? Because you were Johnson & Johnson.
We both had Johnson & Johnson, and we were feeling... Anybody else get Johnson & Johnson in the house?
They're dead. No,
maybe. Yeah, exactly.
They're all dead. One person maybe meekly said yes. We knew that the recommendations seemed like it was coming.
We jumped the gun
a little bit.
Let's just say
jump the line.
You know, by a week.
In order to get... The cross-vax Moderna booster on Monday, we had to show up at a vaccination site and act like we had not been vaccinated. And that was not easy to do.
Yeah, it was. I told Charlie, I was texting him nervously, like, what do? I just don't talk to these people. They're just going to think I rolled up.
Wow.
Oh, tables have been delivered for us to put our drinks on. Thank you, Kurt and Andrew. So much.
No, okay. it was very funny to show up to a van on 42nd Street and say, hi, today on October 18th, 2021, I would like one coronavirus vaccine, please.
And wait, did you get the, like, $500 if you are a
I think we could be eligible for that. But,
yeah,
you know.
I guess then I would donate it, right?
Just be a war profiteer, you know.
Did you guys get the J&J after it was kind of discovered that it blows up hearts every now and then?
No, we got the J&J, and then like 3 days later, like one out of a million persons had a blood thing, and no one got it again.
Yeah,
in our country.
Actually, there was a woman who got J&J immediately following me in the van.
And three people, the only people that were getting vaccines that day were people like we had, there were three tourists from Mexico who were like, yeah, J&J, like, you know, give me the one and done, I'm flying back. Like, vaccine tourism.
I mean, yeah. We're not using them. They might as well take them. That makes sense.
Well, anyway, I felt very good. I had a strong reaction to Moderna, but I was happy because it worked. I did not have any reaction to J&J, and I thought I got water or a placebo, possibly both. Who knows?
Has anybody on the panel been boosted, or is anybody considering getting a boost?
I did get a booster.
All right.
For I had Pfizer, and in Los Angeles, nobody wants vaccines because we've got like a really strong anti-vax population. So it's they're just like, you know, they're everywhere. And there's no barrier to entry.
Did you get a third Pfizer?
I got a third Pfizer.
You kept it legit. You didn't want to switch it up.
I mean, yeah, no, I just did what the CDC said I could when I could.
Okay, well, I feel like I'm being called out for breaking the rules.
But no, I'll say I mean, I should have gone into public health, but I do think that there should be no barriers. I think, you know, if you want any booster, you should be able to get it. I talked to some guy who knew some guy in the military, and he was like, yeah, we get boosters like every 6 months all the time. Like one doctor who was on the front lines, and now I'm the problem because I'm going to like create a vaccine shortage. But people are getting, you know, boosters left and right.
People in the military are getting coronavirus specifically? Not COVID-19 boosters? Or
just people, not even in the military, but like, you know, getting a booster isn't going to hurt you. And right. They're available. So as long as they're available and you're not taking one away from anyone else, get those boosters.
We weren't taking J&J away from anyone. It's, you know, a real sad vaccine.
Mike, what about you?
I kind of want to wait for, like, I feel like it's like the iPhone. I want to wait like a few more months for Fauci to update the software and the microchip on the booster shot, and then I'll get the booster shot. So I have the latest software on.
He's got
Which are you?
With Bill
are you
Gates.
Pfizer or Moderna?
I was Pfizer all the way. And that it was the available one when I got the vaccine back in like March 3rd, when you had to kind of like lie about your health compromise.
And you got it
position.
Then?
Yeah.
It's time for a booster.
Oh, yeah. I'll get one. I'll get one. But I mean.
Wait, what did you lie and say that your health problem was?
Too
handsome?
Yes, that's what I said.
Nice. All right, well, COVID vaccines are working. More people are getting vaccinated every day, but they're also causing some teachers, police officers to quit. City of Chicago is facing a revolt from a police union for simply having to register whether or not they were vaccinated. They don't have to be vaccinated. They just have to register currently to say whether or not they were vaccinated. Do you think that police officers who don't like being told what to do should not be in charge of telling other people what to do? Does this seem like it's just a good way to weed out some people?
Well, let me just say this first before I talk about the cops. Obviously, everything I'm going to say is negative about the cops, all right? I don't know what stance really I'm going to take, but it's going to be negative, okay? Okay, that's first off. Second of all, I don't know if I'm going to get the booster shot. I don't know, like you were saying, like, I have an Android phone. You know what I mean? Like,
okay,
I don't know
it's compatibility.
How long it's going to take for me to adopt to that. For the police, like, I don't know. I don't think it's right that they can, like, revolt at all as police. Like, that should be off the table, right? Like, that should be the only law they follow. You know what I mean? Like, they shouldn't be able to revolt. There's no real joke after that. There's just a lot of black anger right now. They shouldn't be allowed to revolt.
There aren't any in here because people had to check vaccines, so yeah. You can say whatever you want.
Well, first of all, fuck the cops.
This is being recorded, so.
When I say fuck, I mean, leave those guys alone.
Yeah, I mean, we said this on the show our last show here, but it does seem like a great opportunity to sort of weed out, like, We tried defunding the police here in New York City, and then de Blasio didn't really do that. He just, like, did an accounting error and something about their overtime would be less, and then their overtime wasn't less. So we didn't actually take any money away or reduce the police force, but it seems like they're just going to reduce themselves by getting fired. So
Or COVID.
And or dying from COVID.
That's the crazy thing, right? COVID has been the leading killer of cops for the last 18 months.
It's Antifa, then it's COVID.
sorry. My mistake.
Can I tell you something kind of interesting that I just found out? So we talk about defunding the police, but a lot of times police departments get private funding from, like, corporations. So even if we did withhold tax money from them, they'd most likely be okay.
Which ones?
All of them.
Wait, can you? You like, can just donate money to them. Just
they'll
as a
donate
person?
To police foundations. Google it. It's like it was. I can't really. It was part of an episode on the true crime show that I kind of looked into, and it's like a little tenuous. But yeah, police departments get like money from like in turn. They'll get like equipment donations. They'll get money. They'll get. You know, they also have like tools like civil forfeiture where they can just like take shit from people off the street.
Yeah, I heard
you know,
that.
But they do get like private funding from like major corporations, all of them, all over the country.
I feel like the equipment donations kind of make a difference depending on the corporation that you're like if they're getting like Chipotle burritos, that's not like that.
No, it's not Chipotle. I mean,
right?
I don't know. Like the thing is, it's like you can't really get the economic breakdowns because they do that intentionally. Like I don't, like the data is like hard to find.
They get equipment from the U.S. military when they're not using
them
anymore.
Yeah, they get
anymore.
Equipment from
yeah,
the military.
Yeah, they got tanks. They got tanks.
Well, what are we gonna do with those tanks, though?
Maybe not. I mean, build as many
sandboxes.
How why are we always buying new tanks? Countries. We're spending billions of
just
dollars
make it
on
into
new
like
tanks.
A fun Airbnb, you know, like.
Listen, if you anybody out there in the audience, if you come across like a GoFundMe leak for the police, just don't donate to the GoFundMe for the police. All right, just leave them alone.
Well, Ron DeSantis in Florida, Governor of Florida, he said recently that he wants to offer police officers around the country who are refusing to be vaccinated a $5,000 bonus to move to Florida and work in a police force in Florida. So I guess all of the anti-vax cops are going to all converge on Florida.
So
what could go wrong?
What's all of our plans for moving our family out of there, Allie, as someone who grew up in Florida?
My family left the fuck out of Florida in 2003. So I have no family members in Florida. Thanks for outing me there as a Floridian.
Sorry, had to do it.
I would actually, it would be so ironic if somehow like the SDNY was paid by Ron DeSantis to come to Florida for the ceremonial arrest of Trump would be great.
Oh, the Southern District of New York.
Yes.
They're gonna
well, law enforcement in
yeah,
general.
Got it.
This is crazy. This is like feels like Ron DeSantis is like backdoor, like hates cops. He's bringing like as many unvaxxed cops together in one place as possible. This guy's like a
I mean, he's
like
killed
AOC
thousands
kinda
of
guy.
His
yeah.
constituents. Yeah, like, he does not care. It's just posture.
Pretty, yeah, this guy's a Squid Game warlord kind of thing. It's pretty cool.
Well, I'm curious what you guys think about mandates in general. It's just been fascinating to see the people that are choosing not getting vaccinated over their job. Our son is in elementary school, and he has a PE teacher who told all of the kids, the second graders, that no one can live his life for him, and therefore he will be leaving next week because of the vaccine, and he's gone. And it's like, it's the same thing with the cops. It's like, I would love it if all the cops that don't want to get vaccines would just leave the force. I just feel, you need to do a timeout, Mike?
I need to do a timeout. I need you to run that back one time. So
a second grade PE teacher told the second graders that no one can live his life but him, and therefore he would be quitting over the mandate. And that's how we found out about it because on the playground, Jack told Charles.
To be fair, there was a
shockwave through the 6-year-old community. They yeah. didn't know what to do.
We tried to ask our son about it, and he was like, "I don't know." And then he told me, but we had a fourth grade girl was really telling us the business because the women are paying attention. Our second grade son's like, "Oh, Minecraft!" Like he doesn't pay attention, but
like this
then he told us after we asked
him. This gym teacher. I mean, I watched him.
Gym teachers have done worse to kids. So.
No, that's true.
And at least he's not at a Catholic school. So
I watched this gym teacher teach my child PE over Zoom for a year. So I'm familiar with looking over my child's shoulder while he's doing
it. Wait, what was that? Sit and be fit? Like
it was like, do jumping jacks in your room. I mean,
it's
horrible.
It's 75 degree day. It's perfect out, but you need to stay in here and do some jumping jacks and floor touches.
Yeah, sometimes we would just skip gym and be like, let's go on a walk rather than doing jumping jacks in front of Zoom. But, you know, I didn't know that he was an anti-vaxxer. And, like, it's great. Like, all the teachers who are anti-vaxxers, I don't want them teaching my children anyway. So, bye. Mm-hmm. Goodbye. Everybody, just, you know.
I low-key respect that. It's if you are anti-vax, there are so many people who said they were anti-vax. And then once it was their job is on the line, they're like, yeah, okay, I'll get this shot. So they just end up looking like they're just the biggest pile of bitches you've ever seen. But for someone to be like, no, I'll quit my job because I believe so much
I'll
in
quit
this stupid
my job thing. If I can't give kids COVID.
That's I respect. There's
I'll
something
be
like
damned.
you put your paycheck where your beliefs are, I feel like it must be being a PE teacher to second graders already must be the most unsatisfying
amazing
job.
Amazing job.
I don't understand what you do not see. there's no end result of PE where like a second grader ends up like being like jacked up and buff. You're like, I've done a good job. Like,
have you met our second grader?
Yeah, you
have.
You pump him full of steroids though. That's different.
He's protein drinks.
But like, but where's that guy going now? Like, his next job is like, yeah, my last job.
He's gonna be a cop in Florida. You give him $5,000.
$5,000.
Here's a question.
He's going to vote in the midterms. That's the scary part.
The vaccine hesitancy, or not even hesitancy, but like the people who really are anti-vaxxers. Did that all come from Trump? Like, where did that actually come from? Because people got other vaccines prior to this vaccine.
But there was a growing movement of people who wanted to delay their children's vaccines. And Robert
like
Kennedy and all that.
Misinformation on the internet. Mm-hmm. So is it like social media? Or is it like Trumpism? Like, what?
I mean, Trump got the vaccine. I'm sure he's got a booster by
now.
I know.
But
I mean,
like,
he could have gotten it publicly and, he tried.
I think it's because the right associates doctors with liberalism, right? And like,
or like they science wanted, with...
They, like that saying that was like, well, who's the politician who, I think it was like during McCarthyism, was like, you're entitled to your opinion, but you're not entitled to your own facts. That no longer is the case. People are like, my opinion is fact. I'm as good... or my opinion is as worth as much as doctors who are all liberals. So they're like, I'm going to do my own research, which includes just like going on Facebook, you know. So
I guess so, but I don't know if it's a right-wing thing. There's a lot of like left-wing, like
well,
yoga
moms.
Well,
it's a circle. Let's just be honest.
It's a horseshoe.
There's also a lot of black people who are not fucking with it.
Because of the distrust of the government, which is valid.
Shout out to Kyrie Irving out there, who was not.
Well, there was a big movement, I guess. There's a big anti-vax protest in front of Barclays, I think, yesterday, with people screaming, you know, let Irving play.
My body, my choice. I love how they've co-opted
Speaking
that.
Of which, let's talk about abortion. Actually, I do want to switch just to abortion because
it's
why?
The same thing, really.
Why the fuck not? No, one thing, you know, abortion rights are under attack all over the country. I think this could be the coming of the next civil war. I really do think when they overturn Roe v. Wade, functionally, if not, you know, outright. I think that there will be half of the country that has no abortion and half the country that does. And I think it's going to really separate the countries in a way that hasn't really...
In a civil war
No
way?
One's going to go to bat for women's health. I'm sorry, like on a civil war level. I mean, I've actually had a conversation the other night about like the impending civil war type shit. And it's interesting because if you look at like fascism in different countries, like we're very close to kind of Spain right before Franco took over, and like a lot of it has to do with like the next election, you will have all these people disputing it, la la la. But like,
You don't think women will rise up?
As much as, I mean, we're tired and busy and we have kids and no paid leave. So I don't think we're going to be like forming militias to like shoot, you know, Ted Cruz. I shouldn't say that.
We're not.
I shouldn't say that. He's not president. He never will be. I can say that, right?
Yeah.
Yes, you can threaten to kill a senator. You just can't threaten to kill the president.
Okay. Nobody gives a shit about women. And I do think, you know, it will hopefully activate people to vote. Your face.
No. I'm not disagreeing. I know that women...
But it's already...
I've always said,
our rights are already...
I think women might rise up. I do think women might rise up when they realize how difficult it will be, their lives will
be without
access to... You know, reproductive care, but also birth control. I mean, what's the next step, guys? You know, they're not just getting rid of...
We'll be too pregnant to rise up, but I think what will happen is we'll be, like, you know, you've seen Handmaid's Tale or read it. We will have...
I didn't see it because I was pregnant when it came out,
pipelines.
And it was too much for me.
Yeah, I hear you.
I was like, we're going to watch this, and we sat down. I was like, Charlie, I can't watch this. He's like, you can't watch this. I didn't watch it.
We'll just go back to, like, the 70s, the back alley abortions. Like, it'll suck. You know, but the good news to anyone listening who wants an abobo, for one, you can just get a lot of it, get it online or in Mexico. And also, you can still get one in Texas, but you just have to call it Stand Your Ground. And
wait, are you saying to shoot your fetus? Uterus?
If you just won't get in trouble. It's not shooting the fetus. You just, if you're in court, you just say it was Stand Your Ground, you felt your life was threatened. And for the most part, you will. This is a joke I'm working on. Thanks for letting me know.
You're not welcome in this house. And then, you know.
Does anybody else realize that men have sex with women?
What?
That's what's so interesting to me. That the thing is always, like a woman's rights issue, but men get women pregnant, correct?
Yeah, and
Charlie, are you not speaking from experience?
No, yeah, I mean, I think men...
You got me pregnant twice.
I did. Hopefully in this, like, hypothetical, men will, you know, rise up too. And you know, it's the consequences are huge for men as well, obviously.
I hate to say this, but I do
like
think,
how you force him to say that. Men will suffer too.
No, Charlie got a vasectomy. He is very pro
nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm outing his vasectomy on stage.
I would do one.
Everyone's
for the
like silence.
I would do one.
Highly
for the
recommend
cause.
Getting a vasectomy. It was great.
I would do one for the cause for real. Snip, snip.
You would get
it? Yeah, I had like a whole thing. Like, I would do it, but I don't
have
to.
So, you would get a vasectomy or you'd shoot a senator?
Which one?
I mean, depends on what the night is. Yeah. You know what I mean? We might be on some like, hey, snip, snip, or shot, shot. You know what I mean? Whatever we got to do, I'm down for it. I'm down for it.
Is my husband in the audience hearing all this? Okay.
I hate to say this, but I do think that, you know, say what you want about the anti-abortion movement, but they really want it. And they, I feel like, want it a lot more than the pro-choice side wants it. And maybe that's because the pro-choice side is kind of defending a status quo, and the
they haven't had to fight for it.
Yeah, and there's also a lot of like, it's a lot of like complacency among people who are pro-choice, which is like, well, no matter how bad it gets, a large section of that group will find a way to get their abortion. So the energy behind it is not as much as the anti-abortion, which is like, the only thing we're going to vote for is no abortion. So that means voting Donald Trump in office, yeah, it doesn't matter. And if you're a guy who is willing to vote for Donald Trump despite everything else just because he's for abortion, I don't know what the equivalent of that is on the pro-abortion side. I don't know who on the
because
left...
Because we're rational, sane people that...
Like I said, they want it more. Yeah, like I said, that's the advantage the anti-abortion side has.
But when you hear that like 68 to 70% of the country backs Roe v. Wade, how does that not at all translate?
Because
voting?
The Senate exists, because and that's not representative of...
Yeah, we don't live in a representative democracy, and that's really the problem. I think it's a over 70 to 80%. It's like higher that people believe
in
choice.
Yeah, I just think like single-issue voters on the pro-life side, that's just their one issue. They
and
vote
we shouldn't even like let them call it pro-life. It's not pro-life, because they're all fucking giving kids COVID.
They're giving kids COVID. They don't care about paternity leave. They don't care about
and it's like anti-poor women of color. That's really who it's going to affect. And they know what they're doing. It's just a control thing.
Women shouldn't have sex. Women shouldn't have sex. They shouldn't enjoy sex.
It's the ultimate flex of power, right?
Men should, but women shouldn't.
Did you see the thing? I think it was in Texas where like you can't get like abort an ectopic pregnancy, which is like non-viable and can only kill you. So a woman had to go to like New Mexico to get that.
It will kill you. It will cause you to not be able to have the 12 children you want to have after or whatever. Yeah.
This is the kind of thing where like when. Like, the minute Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, everybody knew, like, the second she died, like, McConnell is going to fill that Supreme Court seat with not only, like, a conservative person, but specifically Amy Coney Barrett. Mm-hmm. The very second, and every conservative was like, oh, yeah. And every liberal was like, well, that's what's going to happen. When Biden got elected, his first thing was like, we're going to create a commission to analyze the Supreme Court and consider recommendations such as possibly increasing the size or possibly blah, blah. And everyone's like, this fucking thing is never going to happen. I don't know why I stopped paying attention. It's just a matter of like, you know, that side is going to go for it. And the other side is going to certainly care about it. And that's kind of going to be it. But I will say that commission is going to have some recommendations, though. You watch.
All right. Well, let's actually bring this over to the reconciliation bill. Mike, I know you want to talk about that reconciliation bill.
Yeah.
Woo. No, but this sort of brings me to the point of, you know, we talk about the Republican side. When they're in charge, they get shit done. And now Democrats are in charge, and we're fighting over every tiny little thing. Joe Manchin is like, no. I've got a shit ton of money in coal. We're not doing fuck all about the environment. Kyrsten Sinema is... does anyone have any idea what she wants?
I think she finally spoke up and said she just doesn't want corporations to pay higher taxes.
That's
her thing.
That's her hill to die on. Real, real cool. Real awesome. But she seems to shift in the wind. Mike, is there anything specifically you hope doesn't get cut from this mammoth bill? Or
I mean, in the specifics of government bills, I can't talk to that specifically. What I can talk to is that I feel that the Democrats or the liberals or whatever, just like, we're so segmented You know, there's so many things about, like, we stick on our identities. Like, I identify as this, and so you just go in that base. You know what I mean? Like, we need to be acting like Avengers all the time. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's acting like we're starring in our own movies. And it's like, yo, you got Thanos right there. Like, the Hulk came down and is like, yo, Thanos is coming. Like, we all need to get together and be the Avengers all the time. So when it comes to, like, what's not going to be in the bill and what is going to be in the bill, like, I hope, like, is the school stuff on there? Like, the school
pre-K, bills? Universal pre-K?
Not universal, but you for people college? Who have a college debt. Is college debt in there?
No. Oh, you're talking about free community college or no?
Free community college and canceling college debt. Where
free community college is currently gone.
It's gone.
I feel like canceling student debt was like gone a while ago too. I think that kind of
All the stuff that I would like give a fuck about.
Yeah,
is gone. I mean, and unless there's anything that's specifically to women, then I also give a fuck about that too.
Thank you so much.
I don't know exactly what they are, but for the record, I am about it. Okay,
it's mandatory vasectomies.
Tell me during the show, just
mandatory vasectomies. And thank you so much for agreeing to that, Mike. We have a doctor backstage.
Well, speaking of things for women that are in the bill that are actually for women and men and for children is paid parental leave, paid maternity leave, and I think one of the latest negotiations is they were going to give 12 weeks maternity leave, and now it's down to 4. Like, I mean, I don't understand why. Like, who is on the side of only 4? Right now we have 0, and we are one of 8 countries without paid maternity leave in the entire world. The average length is 29 weeks. And the Democrats are just negotiating with themselves down from 12 to 4. And I don't get it. I just don't get how Joe Manchin or Kyrsten Sinema is going back home to get reelected in West Virginia and Arizona saying, I did it, guys. I got us only 4 weeks of time off when we have a baby and we need to take care of a child. I don't get it. I don't know.
I especially, because I can get, like, old senators don't understand what student debt is. They, you know, they paid their college by working at the TCBY's for a summer or two, but
because it costs $200.
They also don't know what being a mom is.
Even like male senators, almost every senator has been a parent at some point, and if you have had a kid, you know, 4 weeks into it, you do not feel like it feels like simultaneously
Shubin, you
zero.
Feel that way, but you don't have you're an equal partner in your relationship. These men are like, I had a baby last night, I'm going tomorrow to work. Yeah, like, they're not paying attention to the, you know, difficulty that
I mean,
it is to raise
come
a baby.
On, like, on the idea that, like, after 4 weeks of being like a newborn's parent, you don't even know what day it is, much less like you're ready to like go back to work. I don't know, like, you're not gonna find common ground in anything else.
I'm gonna guess a lot of the men in power did not have great relationships with their parents, and that's what got us here. Just a Hail Mary idea.
Yeah, interesting. I would agree with that.
Because their parents didn't have 4 fucking weeks off when they were born and resented them.
Well,
for
but
them.
Is this
everybody knows the bonds are really created in the first 4 weeks of life.
It's this fucking weird, archaic bullshit that... Again, it's all about women's place in the world. Women aren't supposed to enjoy sex. They're supposed to let their husbands fuck them twice or 4 times or whatever it is to have the kid. And then they don't work and they stay home and they take care of the stupid fucking kid. And the husband does nothing except come home and get a martini. And he pays the way.
How you doing, Trey?
And you know what? And if the husband's not taking care of that shit.
The podcast just took an interesting turn.
But it's the archaic way. And women are like, well, fuck you. I've got to work. I've got to be an equal partner. I might want to work, but also most women have to work because their husbands aren't making enough because we don't pay enough people to have a living wage. And they have to work. They have to, which means the husband also has to change diapers, also has to be there. And people need time off. And it's better for kids because these kids then grow up to be better people and smarter people and more contributing members of society.
It's
so it's a cycle that starts.
The other problem is a lot of people who have really good ideas like that will never win an election in our country because, again, we have money in politics and corporations that don't want to pay women. Even though, actually, the economics are that if you do invest in new moms, it's better for the economic health of a company. I've never said the phrase economic health.
But it's also, like, for that same reason, it feels like conservatives would want very generous pay leave programs. Because, like, guys, if you want to outlaw immigration, fine, but you got to start paying these white people to have more babies. The only way it's going to do is it's going to work.
Yeah, that same argument could be made for how they feel about abortion and like the demographics of people who want abortions, who can't afford kids, like what do they think they're doing? Everything they think policy-wise, the result is like not what they want.
Yeah, if you believe in replacement theory, like here's a plan right here. Just
like
just
they are
literally
creating need for a welfare state by forcing women to have children that they cannot afford.
Right, and a lot of these heartbreaking stories of women who want to have babies in Texas. They want their babies, but they have to have an abortion because they can't afford to have the babies. So pay them to have some support and some help.
But also, like, we're making a lot of assumptions, one of which is that the people at the top are not, like, kleptocratic sociopaths. Like, a lot of, even, like, the tech dudes, like, they want to live in, like, a feudal state where they, like, lord over roving bands of poor people. Like, we do not, like, that is what they want. And they want women to be, like, imprisoned. Like, that is what, in, like, our own bodies or whatever. Like, that's...
I mean, maybe Mark Zuckerberg, but Jack Dorsey? No.
But that's, like, I think that, I just think that a lot of people, like, Bezos is, like, a prime example. Like, why we think that billionaires are not mentally ill when, like, he has so much money and, like, he goes to, like, high-profile functions and people, like, praise him and don't like laugh him out the door for like what he's doing for like the bulk of like over 1 million people who work for him. They don't have living wages. Like it's everything. Our whole, you know, like not to be like,
there was a new article out today that they systemically like fired people and let them go for having babies at Amazon.
Yeah. And then they were like on, like they just like, there was that story about a mom who actually wrote Bezos and was like, I'm owed back pay, and because you guys didn't pay me on time, I've, like, slipped further into debt and, like, can't afford anything.
Yeah, he shot her into space. It was very sad. Very sad outcome.
I want to... So we have this intractable problem between our two-party system and the Democrats when they're in control, and they're not really in control because Joe Manchin's barely a Democrat, and who knows what Kirsten Sinema is. But there's a man who's going to solve all of this, and I want to see what the panel thinks about this. Andrew Yang is coming out with the Forward Party. It's going to be a third party, and I'm curious what everybody thinks about Mr. Yang, who ran for mayor here recently in New York, and now... he ran for president, and then he ran for mayor, and then he decided he wanted to stay in the spotlight, so he's got a third party. What do you guys think?
Well, let me start first with love. I do appreciate Andrew Yang for not becoming president and then not becoming the mayor and having the resilience to be like, you will not get rid of me. I will make another party out this bitch. I'm going to be here, right? I respect that. I also want to say this, too, another black fact. So Sean Diddy, Brother Love Combs, did make another political party, and it was the Black People's Party, and it hasn't taken off yet. I don't think enough people are talking about it. I don't know if I'm a member. I think I'm contractually obligated to be one, but that also exists. Now, for Andrew Yang, I think it's interesting that he's doing it. You know, like, I look from the scope of, like, fuck if it's going to work or not. Just the fact that you can be in this country and make another party, that is interesting to me. Will it work? I think we all can agree that the man doesn't know the difference between a supermarket and a bodega. So this party will not go off the ground.
I have to defend Andrew a little bit now.
Defend him, Charlie. Please defend him.
I'm about to eat Andrew up.
There's only one.
Cody and I live in Hell's Kitchen, and that bodega is very near Allie's old apartment in Hell's Kitchen. I think it was like Seven Brothers Bodega on like 49th and 9th. And like...
First of all, bodegas don't have names, okay? They're just the bodega. You coming out here, the Seven Brothers. No, there are not chains. They're just bodegas. They are the no-frill of stores. Don't do this.
Mike, it has a cat. There's a cat inside.
What type of cat is it?
I mean, it's not a fancy cat. It's a Seven Brothers Deli Market cat.
Okay.
It's where we would go for the bacon, egg, and cheese.
It actually was only the only place I ever got deli sandwiches from.
But yes, there was probably some fancy stuff in there too.
I saw a cat there, though. That's interesting. It did look like a grocery store. It did.
There we go.
No, I want to like Andrew Yang. I mean, he does live in our neighborhood. His
does he?
He do. Well, I used to see him riding biking his son to school. His son used to go to the same school as our son, and I would see him biking his son to school in the morning. And yeah, I don't know. We have this two-party system, and I don't want Andrew Yang on a ballot when there's a Democrat running against a Republican.
Well,
that scares me.
I'll say this. He, during the mayoral race, I think came out and was like, if I had my druthers, I'm pro-life. And I was like, okay, well then, if he starts a new party, that could draft a lot
Wait, he said that?
Yes. He's like...
I didn't know that.
He's like,
he
said I'm pro-choice policy-wise, but I think life begins at... He is...
So I think if he started
a new party, it could draft Republicans who think the Republican Party has lost the plot.
And split the vote is what you're saying.
Yeah. And so he'll get like Republicans and then like Dave Chappelle.
Speaking of Dave Chappelle. So
we really want to.
He paid me to make
Do
that
we want to?
I'm not even going to go. We're not even going to go there. With Andrew Yang, when Dave Chappelle did stand behind him and be like, oh, I like this guy, during that time, it was like, oh, pretty interesting.
And now?
Not as interesting.
This is the kind of thing, though, that like tells me that Andrew Yang thinks about politics the way most people think about politics, and he talks about it. Because most people, I think, if you ask them, they would say, a lot of people say they're pro-choice, but also say, like, but personally, I'm pro-life, because they've never had to deal with anything in the concrete way, and they just don't think through, like, an ideology. And kind of Donald Trump was the same way. When he was running for president, they asked him, like, what's your position on abortion? And he was like, it's fine. Like, I think it should be fine. And the Republicans are like, but that's not what we say. And he's like, sorry, yeah, we should put the mom in prison. No, that's also not what we say. It's like, oh, so yeah, I don't know. What do you guys want me to say? Like these guys, a lot of people don't think things through.
A lot of people, or
most people don't think things through the way.
Oh, that Jenna just mouthed men for anyone who's listening on the line. A lot of people don't think about abortion.
That has Marjorie Taylor Greene, I don't think needs to talk about any kind of people not thinking things.
I mean,
through.
She's not representative, I would say, of women in our country. I hope.
I don't know.
You think. Girlfriend's fun. I love. Lover.
We
Girls
do need
Weekend
a third.
With Marjorie all the time.
We do need a third party. We
but
need
how
more
is
parties.
That going to happen, Mike? That's my thing.
I mean, like, my thing is like it's not going to happen with Yang.
But it keeps trying with other people.
The way Yang wants it to happen is how it should happen, is that's with ranked choice voting. And we just had ranked choice voting here in New York. And yeah. You should be able to say, yeah, I want... Ralph Nader number one, but I want Al Gore too. And if Ralph Nader doesn't win, I want my vote to go to Al Gore and not George Bush. That's what ranked choice voting is, and that's how we could have multiple parties. And I think even with our mayoral election, it's frustrating that, like, you know, we had 7 Democratic candidates in the primary, and now Eric Adams won, and he's going against this clown, Curtis Sewa. And it's like, I wish that, like, it was like a general election between Adams and Catherine Garcia or Maya Wiley, and we would have more of a conversation around it.
I just think our country is in too raw of a space, especially after like the Capitol riot, to be like, yes, bring on 4 parties so that whoever wins, only 15% of the population supports them. Like, I just think our country is emotionally like at like 3 years old. We are like infants. We have so much knee-jerk rage reactions that, and we're all fucking armed to the hilt. Like, I just don't know how we get a multi-party system unless it's like 3 new parties enter the picture, not a third that's just gonna like cull votes from one. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you want a two-party system because otherwise it'll be, I think, easier to slip into fascism. Like, if you we are just ripe for the, like, we are so close. I mean, we were close in 2015, but the next election, we're like pretty much there. You know, we have distrust in the system among Democrats and Republicans, our guns. Like, we're not,
Well, like, how do you guys feel about how the New York mayoral breakdown happened with that? Because I feel like it was kind of a disaster, because first of all, they like fucked up the counting, right? And then like a lot of people are just like, well, fuck Eric Adams, he's not my guy. And then like, Sewa basically goes on interviews and is like, did you guys know that Eric Adams is like, as the mayor, I'm going to be armed at all times. I don't believe in that shit. Trying to like get other Democrats on his side. And I'm just like, this kind of was a disaster, because a lot of eligible candidates by the system, first of all, people distrusted the ranked choice voting because I don't know. It just seemed like kind of a disaster to me.
I didn't find it to be a disaster. I think Eric won. I think he got the most votes. He had the biggest coalition, and he won. I mean, he won in every round. He won in the first round, second round, third round, and he won.
I wasn't excited about it.
I wasn't pulling for him.
Although I'm going to vote for him over Curtis 100%. I'm excited about him now. Getting on that train, for sure.
I do think that if you want a more democratic system, and this is going to... And let me just say this. You need to, like, take away a lot of minority rights. And what I mean by that is...
Whoa, what?
What I mean to say is, like, most minorities should not be allowed to vote. And I think that's just a fair thing to say. What I mean by that is we have a system right now in the government where the minority party has too much power. They can railroad, they can block, there's three branches of government, there's committees, there's veto points all throughout the system. It gets to the point where there is no... connection between what a person or a party says they're going to run on and what actually happens once they get into office. If you basically turn the minority of whatever election into the same kind of loyal opposition that exists in most parliamentary systems, where all they can do is just bitch to the media about what the majority party is doing, and the majority party gets their agenda enacted. You won the election. Do it. Then you would very quickly see people realize that, like, wow, elections have results. Elections have, like, strong consequences. I should vote. It's very simple. I see what happens. Oh, this party gets elected. Now I get my health care, or now we're going into war against Iraq. Okay, I know that now. And that, I think, makes a lot of difference in terms of people seeing what the effect of their vote is. And also, a majority party that wins has the right to enact this agenda.
So you think if we just got rid of the filibuster, then we wouldn't have a need for a third party?
We should
or
get rid
choice?
Of the Senate. We should get rid
the
of
the Senate is
history.
So
yes.
I think absolutely. So disproportionate.
The presidency.
The fact that
it should just be Congress, but national proportion of.
We're sitting here with two fucking senators in the middle of the country as like one person.
Yeah.
What if you just had a representative democracy and you got money out of politics, which are like pretty big things, but they echo in every single capacity? Like, the minority is. I mean, like, if I get rid of the electoral college.
Yeah, the electoral college.
But I think
done.
The Senate and the House of Representatives isn't a bad idea. I think like the fact that we even had any checks and balances at all, like in the last election. I mean, like the only reason like we are not a fascist dictatorship at the moment is because Trump. Is a fucking idiot. Like, we came so close. And, you know, they did plan January 6th. And the only reason it didn't work is because Trump was part of it. Like, if...
Well, Trump wasn't elected by a majority of the voters either, though. If that, you know... if
No,
a,
I know he wasn't.
That,
so
a party that was...
And also then you have the, you know, if you had senators who didn't have financial stakes in the game, if you really did get money out of politics, then people would be voting on behalf of the interests of their constituents as opposed to big corporations.
Get money out of politics. Uh-huh. These politicians, I'm, fuck it. I've been drinking. I'm tired.
That's what we like.
You know,
Mike.
Yeah. I'm five beers in. I'm on a whole nother show. This is two beers in premium. You understand what
We're
I'm saying?
Solve
I'm in a different, I'm in a different spot right now. First of all, I'm sick of these motherfuckers doing book tours and all this shit. No more books, okay? No more books. You done.
Mike,
you served
Mike
your time.
Brown
no more books.
Does not like books. That's
I don't
what
like
we're
books,
say.
Okay?
Burn them.
Burn all the books. If you are a politician and you're like, hey, I'm going to write a book and do it. No, you can't do that. There needs to be a moratorium, whatever you call
what
it.
What if it's in the middle of the pandemic and you're governor? Should you write a book at that time?
No, I don't want you to write a book. I don't want you to audio book. I don't even want you to get booked by a cop. Nothing with books for you. Okay, that's first of all. Second of all, I had this fun thought. What if we just went back to being one big colony, right? What if the UK was like, hey, we're going to take care of you guys for a little bit while you get yourself together? You know what I mean? Kind of like a step parent just coming in and be like, I take care of the kids. You know what I mean? Like,
what if, foster
wait,
system
Boris Johnson?
Yeah, like, what
if we, Boris Johnson?
We got to split the states up and put them as like foster kids for every other country. Like, France gets a few, Germany gets a few.
You know?
The thing with my thought about the third party and Andrew Yang starting the forward party or whatever is it's just ignoring the fact of what happened the last 4 years and that it's still an emergency. And that, yes, we like found this technical little tiny way to blow up the Death Star and Trump is gone and we took his Twitter away. But Emperor Palpatine is still there and he's coming back and he's going to say everything's rigged and we have to fucking be preparing and getting our X-Wings ready to go and not like fighting amongst the rebels and starting a new faction. I just think it was a great metaphor. But I think it's we gotta like focus up. We like same team, guys. Let's all get ready to make sure Trump doesn't come back.
This is what the problem is. This is what really the problem is. Right now we're at a point where like, hey, same team, guys. We got to take care of that, right? But the whole time you have people of color saying one thing like, yo, the system's corrupt. This is fucked up. This is fucked up. This is fucked. You know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to vote for the lesser of two evils and know that all this is bullshit, right? And then you have women who are like, hey, you're not listening to what? You're not listening. You're not. All right, cool. Fuck it. Now when it's time to actually do something, we don't want to do shit. What? Like, what? Well, fuck the Death Star. Like, I don't even fuck with Star Wars like that. You know what I mean? Like, well, what? I'm sorry. It's, I've been drinking. I've been drinking a little bit.
But I think
now what people got to say, huh? Now what you got?
To me, the same team thing is like Biden's the president. Let's get his agenda done, and he's got an incredibly progressive agenda. So it's just frustrating that we've got two senators who are stopping that, and it's frustrating that Andrew Yang is spending his time promoting some third party.
But what else?
Also, on
that
to
or
the
podcast for him. Sorry.
What?
Either that or a podcast. Like, he's going to do a third party.
How dare you insult people with podcasts?
I mean, there will be a podcast about it.
The third party coming to Spotify, hosted by Andrew Yang.
Yeah, I think he could just, like, take a breather and chill out for a while and go, I mean, whatever his job was before or something in tech, no one really remembers.
I just think people who go into politics, and I'm really sorry if anyone in here is thinking of going into politics, but I think they're just, like, unmitigated narcissists.
Yeah.
And they need so much attention that
and
it's just,
and what it takes,
like,
to get elected is the opposite of like what it takes to be a good leader, and that's also like a big problem in our country.
And you just, like, sort of make all these morally dubious choices because you know it's going to get you booked on like Sunday morning news channels, and it's terrifying because we are on the precipice of like a really dumb form of fascism. And I mean, I don't even know what that means—the American form of fascism. But yeah, it's
the
just
best form of fascism.
Thank you.
It's fascism without a cause or like a purpose. Like, you
it's
know,
just
it's
power
just like
and attention. I mean, well, when you look at Trump, it's like he just wants to own the news cameras every night. It's not about power. It's about everything being about him.
He's
and that's why it's stupid.
Yeah.
But yeah, but he is his own thing. But the other thing that we're going to talk about, right? Facebook. Like, I mean, just like just the idea that like, I laugh thinking like 2008 when we thought like tech was gonna save us. Remember that?
Did you really think that?
Everybody thought it. Barack Obama got elected because of Facebook. Yep. You know, like people really thought
Who's
that.
Ever Twitter took credit for
like,
but yes.
Social media. People really thought in like the like early aughts or whatever.
It was gonna Arab Spring. Everything. The whole world was gonna
remember.
Be
and I mean, like so much of the division, you know, is because of these like unregulated tech companies.
Has anybody quit Facebook on the panel? Everybody
I did.
On Facebook?
I did. I quit in 2012 because my 12-year-old cousin in Texas said she couldn't wait to be a nurse so she could deny women abortions, and I hit quit.
Wow.
And I have not spoken
to her. What's she up to now? You don't even know.
Thank God she's not a nurse. I don't know. I actually I'm estranged from the rest of my family in Texas. So
I actually heard that she was up for the next Supreme Court seat because she's what? Right? That should be the right age for
Jenna,
Mitch McConnell.
Jenna, you also quit Facebook, Jenna?
Yeah, I quit.
When did you quit?
I quit when I saw that like Trump was meeting with Zuckerberg. It was like it was like maybe 2019 or something.
Yeah. Did you have like a fan page for your stand-up comedy? Like, were there consequences to like quitting?
Because
I feel like I can't quit because I run improv everywhere.
The reason you can't quit, Charlie, is the Buy Nothing Facebook group.
I'm a
you
fan.
You are obsessed.
Anybody
with
in a Buy Nothing group? Anybody here?
We
got some hands up.
We got one.
Up.
We got one or two guys. We are on a text chain with some friends that live in Los Angeles now. All about Buy Nothing. We love it. We get all free. Our son is getting all free shit.
So Buy Nothing is a movement started in Oregon, I think, and it's a series.
Well, that
of,
sounds
it's,
promising.
It's primarily
Buy Nothing is actually sponsoring this podcast.
It's primarily a manifest in Facebook groups, but it's encouraging waste diversion, and instead of throwing stuff away, you offer it for free to people in your community. And it's basically, you know, the table in your laundry room in your Manhattan apartment where people just put the free shit that they don't want and other people take it. It's that, but like for the whole neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
And you could only be in one. I mean, I'm sure you could illegally join more, but it's supposed to be specifically hyper local, and you're supposed to just post things that you want to get rid of. There's no, you don't like pay.
It's
or
not,
anything.
You don't barter. You just get.
So you're just giving away stuff.
Yeah, and I'm receiving stuff too.
Guys,
like,
we've
I'm
got
go,
like
I'm
just
going
so many toys.
I've not bought a single.
That supply chain bullshit. Don't need to worry about it because my son already has all of his Christmas presents in a closet ready to go because I got them for free on Buy Nothing. Your welcome
our youngest son, our oldest son, knows
so
the difference.
So do you guys, as current Facebook users, believe the pros of Facebook outweigh the cons?
No, look, that is
listen,
not
at,
true.
At
no.
the end of the day, it's,
That's what I feel. That's what I feel.
Facebook
I mean.
Is making teenage girls hate themselves and hate their bodies. It's
Instagram.
Destroying democracies around the world. But yes, we're getting free stuff in our community, so it's a tough call.
Also, you need it for that multi-level marketing thing you guys are part of, right?
Yeah, if you want to buy some oils after the show, guys, we're all here for it.
Yeah, it's great for selling yoga pants, LuLaRoe yoga pants as well. No, I mean, but I do, I feel like I want to give up Facebook. I do like my neighborhood groups, not just the Buy Nothing group, but just like there's, you know, Hell's Kitchen neighbors. It's, I mean, sometimes it degenerates into terrible fighting and all that, but it's just nice. It's, I don't know. I wish there was something that was not Facebook that was, and also not Nextdoor because it's worse, but that was like, you know, a way for a community digital.
Well, because it used to be church. That's what church was, right? You'd go and you'd. Okay. Socialize through church.
You know, other parts of the country still have church, though. So
I
that
forgot.
Exists.
What's church? Yeah. Oh, I'm an atheist.
It is funny, actually, because the Facebook, I'm also in one of these local neighborhood groups. It's like, hey.
So this podcast is just going to be like an ad for Facebook.
It's great. It's great.
I don't want everyone to get on Facebook.
It is.
You're like, I can't disconnect from my fans.
The great thing about that is that you can see the algorithm at work. You can see the algorithm at work because you'll see that, like, every time you log on, the second post of that local group is like, hey, everybody, we're having a block party on, like, 3rd Avenue. Hope to see you guys there. The third post is like, hey, everybody, we're giving away some stuff. The first post is always like, why are there so many black people in these photos of the neighborhood? Is someone trying to pass an agenda? And then 400 comments after that.
Yeah.
It's like, this is the one that Facebook wanted me to see.
Well, it got engagement.
It got engagement. The algorithm's like, you'll probably want to see this one that's going to, like, really, like, offend you. The third one is the baby clothes you're looking for. But that first one, oh, boy, what about black people, huh?
I need to jump in these Facebook groups and just, like, drop a show link. Right there.
Yeah. You know,
what's that? 400 people. Bow. Come to Caveat on November 8th.
I'll talk all about this.
I can say that I quit Twitter 6 months ago and I quit Facebook in 2012 and I'm only on TikTok now and my algorithm is all cats and it's the best. Like it's like I live in a world where it's just like, I mean, I get headlines for joke setups that I have to write about, so I am exposed to the real world in that sense. But other than that, it's just like TikTok cats being.
You're
going to
be heartbroken that first TikTok video where the cat says some COVID disinformation, though. I'm going to tell you that right now.
I was very heartbroken
on prison.
On Instagram when like someone's dog was like, vote. And I'm like, you're not taking a stand? Fuck you. Like, just say vote. Like, come on. Who are you voting for, pug? You know.
All right. So since we're talking about local Facebook groups, so I do want to talk about some local issues and perhaps some local issues that might get 400 comments in a Facebook neighborhood group. What does the panel think about the sidewalk sheds, the COVID restaurant sidewalk sheds? Because that's been in the news a lot. There's been a lot of debate and
maybe we shouldn't call them COVID restaurants. They're not restaurants where you get COVID.
The COVID era policy of having the sidewalk sheds.
Restaurants where you get COVID in a shed. I don't want that.
Brave.
Thank you.
Very brave.
Gonna come out and say that.
But anyway, that like de Blasio's announced that any of the ones that are currently like not being used are going to start cleaning those up. And there's some people that think they need to be better regulated. There's some people that are pissed off because they lost their precious parking space. There's some people that think it's a great use of public space and showing people that we can have more than just parking. But maybe they could look a little nicer. What does the panel think?
I wish I had the brain space to think.
Well, you don't live here. You are also visiting.
As someone who lived in Hell's Kitchen, which is literally a beat-up street nightmare right now, I used to live there. I now live in a neighborhood where the streets are paved. I love them. I love the idea that, like, less 18-wheelers are blowing by me at, like, 80 miles an hour. I mean, yes, some of them are very suspect and have completely... When my husband and I lived in Hell's Kitchen, there was one that was just three walls and a wooden floor. And then one day we looked inside and all the three walls just fell. And it looked like a car had blown through it. So yes, maybe regulation is in order, but on the most part, it has just expanded pedestrian space. I don't love the ones that have a bike lane where people on motorized bikes go by at 80 miles an hour, but like... It changed even like the winter for us because some places had like heaters and you could eat outside and you could feel like you could still have a life even though vaccinations were not available yet. And like we now live near a place that has open streets and like open streets with the restaurants like, you know, in that lane, that parking lane, it's such a huge quality of life change. I don't know. I'm all for them. I understand the terror of shoddily assembled ones, but I wish New York would just like have... if I were mayor, I talk about this a lot.
Run,
I would
run,
basically
do
just do like every other avenue would be closed to cars and just be pedestrian streets.
That's and the first like super applause line we got all
so
night.
So my name is
long.
Allison Horde, and I'm running for mayor.
These are all plants that Charlie brought. Charlie, well,
this is actually the one thing I think LA has done better is they have back alleyways where you put trash, where you we garbage trucks.
We got to get the trash off the sidewalks.
We got to get the trash off the sidewalks, and that was actually the one reason. Who is the chick? Who is the like head of
Catherine Garcia?
Catherine Garcia was like, I'm addressing trash on the street, and I was like, I want to listen to what she has to say.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. We're one of the only the only major city in the world that's just like, oh, yeah, let's throw some fucking
just
trash
just like
everywhere.
Rats are running across my feet every day. And
yeah,
I would
no,
love
thank
to.
You.
Yeah, New York City.
It is weird. New York should commit. You either have 18-wheelers going down the street or people sitting on tables. This situation right now where it's like the 18-wheelers are like an inch away from people having dinner is not a sustainable situation.
Yeah.
It'll be hilariously, tragically over one day.
Well, cars have
hilariously
crashed.
Hilariously.
Very tragic.
But it seems pretty simple. It seems like, okay, here's what you do. You have a restaurant. You have a sidewalk. You have the outdoor dining shed and whatever configuration makes it look less shitty. Then you have a bike lane. Then you have a bollard that stops any cars from going into a bike lane. So the bike lane is next to... It's like the most common thing. It's like... Oh,
like
yeah,
like
this is common sense. What? Like, why would I have a bike breezing through a waitress carrying a tray of kegs and or pitchers? We don't know. It's so hard to know what that difference is. But someone does. You know, like, why would you do that? It just seems like obvious. It just takes 1 second of forethought.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's room for improvement. Some of them look pretty junky. I'm also really suspect of the ones that have four walls and like air conditioning systems. And it's like, you just expanded your restaurant.
Yeah,
like, this is
like
not a COVID thing.
Yeah.
But eventually, hopefully one day, we're all going to feel comfortable eating inside and COVID will be gone or endemic and it's fine. But I think we should still repurpose parking spaces and make them... I mean, it's not public space if it's deeded to a landlord, but, you know, we'll charge the landlord more property tax or whatever for that space, and people can eat outdoors, and we'll be, you know, more European, and it'll be great.
And we should be able to drink on the streets.
We should be, yes, yes.
Woo!
That's a Colbert thing.
And as your
that
future
reversed.
Mayor...
No, I mean, so yeah, we had that temporary COVID rule through Cuomo that we could drink on the streets or have to-go cocktails, and like, I guess you weren't allowed to drink, but everybody did. But yeah, that's ridiculous. That should, I mean, literally.
Did you guys live here during the blackout of 2003? Did anyone?
I was here.
Was
yeah.
anyone here?
Yeah.
Oh my God, We all just drank on the streets, and it was like the best night of my life.
Wait, 2003?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was like the big Northeast blackout, right?
The big
there
blackout.
Was also yeah. Sandy that it shut down.
Oh, Sandy, we were also drinking on the streets.
Oh no, I'm talking about 2003 where the weather was great and we were all drinking on the streets.
Yeah, Sandy was much of a sadder blackout. That was.
Yeah. I was about to be getting drunk on the street.
I mean,
I was talking about the happy blackout.
There's literally, it's pretty easy to see heroin use in the street right now if you're around Midtown. And I just feel like,
or everywhere.
Or I guess everywhere. But, you know, and the police, I don't know. That's a whole nother topic that we can get into how to address that problem. People need help. But it's like, who are we kidding about not being able to walk around with a tall boy in your
Charlie
hand?
Charlie and I got went out for like a dinner recently, which is a rare occasion for us with our children. Yes. And we got some beer and we were walking around and he was like nervously pouring the beer into the coffee cup that we brought. I was like, Charlie, there are people shooting up heroin. They're not going to stop the middle-aged white couple for drinking beer. And they did
and
not.
And yet it's illegal.
And they did not.
But that is the point. They don't do it, but they do selectively police it against black.
I said, let's use our privilege and drink this beer on the street.
Right, but let's fight to change the law so everyone can have that privilege.
Sure,
and be
but
able to
in
drink
the,
on the
immediate
street.
Future, let's just drink that beer.
It seems like we have a very transit-friendly crowd, or people who are interested in transit infrastructure. The other thing that's been in the news locally is congestion pricing, which I've been talking about on this podcast for 4 years. But congestion pricing is was supposed to come this year, but the pandemic's delayed it, and now the MTA is slow rolling it, and it's going to be like a year of meetings about it. But Cody and I spent 2 hours on a Zoom, the public comment period for people that live within the congestion zone. If you don't know, south of 60th Street in Manhattan, it's going to cost like $12 to enter it in a car. Eventually. Look, applause break for that. I agree.
Thank you, guys.
But so we were on this Zoom just to speak up as people who we live south of 60th Street. We wanted to speak up for people that supported it. And there were everybody on the Zoom. It was like 200 people spoke. Everybody supported congestion pricing, but it was like, I support congestion pricing, but here's the reason why I personally shouldn't have to pay. And it was like, I have to visit my mom in Westchester, and I have to, you know, whatever.
I have to trek my 5 children to different soccer practices that I've chosen all over the city.
I choose to live in the middle of Manhattan, but my kids go to private school in the Upper East Side, and I shouldn't have to pay $12. Yes, you should. You're traffic. You're part of the traffic. You should have to pay $12. So there's no question. I just wanted to give a congestion pricing update for listeners of this podcast.
Do you want to ask our panelists if they agree with congestion pricing, Charlie, or are you just assuming that they all do?
Well, let's ask.
I want to make sure I understand congestion pricing. So it's $12 for anybody who lives in these areas?
So no, it's for anyone. It's for anyone. So it's first of all, it's being worked out exactly how much the toll is. And right now...
there's a toll. It's like a toll.
There will be toll cameras on like 60th Street or 59th Street. And if you come in... You will pay a toll every time you come in.
In your car.
Even if you're going downtown.
In your car.
If you're just passing through Midtown, you would pay $12.
Allie's like, I live on 62nd or whatever.
But she doesn't own a car.
You know what I mean?
She doesn't own a car. Yeah, she's fine.
But bless your heart for thinking I own a private car.
But it would also affect you taking, like if you took a, you know, downtown taxi or whatever.
Well, that's to be debated.
I'm in, if it's a taxi, an Uber, a Lyft, or an MTA, I am furious when I am in it because it is the wrong way to go because I have somehow personally been screwed over. Yes, thank you for asking.
I don't think it's a good idea. I guess it's a good idea because there's congestion. I don't know that below 16th Street life that you guys live.
60th? Yeah, 60th. Yeah.
We've just got a convert! No.
Columbus Circle right there. Fucking wide 16th Street. That's not even congested like that. Broadway is coming across. Okay. Now. Wait, the whole shit changed. Because I was going to say, with 16th, I get it. But as a native New Yorker, this is bullshit. This is all bullshit.
You don't get charged if you're on the West Side Highway or the FDR or anything like that.
So if I'm just in an Uber, right? And I'm coming from the Bronx.
Ubers are going to be a little different. I think Ubers are already paying a congestion fee as of a few years ago, so they're not going to pay a full...
It's baked in.
Who knows with Uber? Uber's been like doubling their prices already, but...
Yeah, that shit's crazy.
It's like, to encourage people to take mass transit. And actually, the reason they were able to sell this, and this is just icing on the cake, but the money from all these tolls is going to the MTA.
Okay, cool. But do they use it? Are they going to lose it and then find it a year later? Like, oh, the surplus.
The MTA is a poorly run
organization.
You're
joking, but you're right.
But that is really nice.
Corrupt MTA? What?
Listen, I think they can do that. If they do that, they got to bring back the daily MetroCard pass.
Yeah, that sucked when they took that away.
Yeah, I don't even know. Time out a second. Audience here, do you know about the daily pass? Clap it up if you know about the daily. Clap it up if you know about the $4 daily pass where you can just do whatever.
I didn't know it went away.
Yeah.
Now it's just monthly. Can you get a weekly even, or is it just monthly?
It's a three-ride joint? Listen. As your mayor, I will bring back the daily pass, the weekly pass, even a pass for an hour. Get it in, fam. You know what I mean? Like, do what you got to do. But you just can't. You can't put a $12 tax below 60th Street without giving some kind of incentive, because like if I don't live down there and I gotta go by there, I shouldn't have to pay a toll like in the city.
Well, you take a subway or you walk or you bike, you don't have to pay the toll.
That's how they get you.
Wait, so the current one day pass you were saying is 3 rides total?
He was saying it was like a 3 ride. See, now he's gonna talk about his friend with it. Okay. See,
I wish we had some sort of device
we'll
in our pocket
that
we could figure out things.
It is weird that like
we'll
the
never
MTA.
Know.
It is. I definitely don't trust how the MTA will say like we spent $500 million installing Omni readers in every turnstile that will read your card without any problem magnetically and will transfer that to your credit card, and also all the trains are canceled.
Yeah. Right.
That's a very misuse of funds, in my opinion.
I was waiting for the B today, and it was 3 minutes away on the screen, and then it just jumped to like 12 minutes away. And I know because I've watched so many fucking Vice videos about it, because it's like the signals are dusty. Yeah. They have like metal dust on them. And I'm like, what the
fuck are you using money for?
Like, wipe the metal. I don't know. Like, attach magnets to the trains. Get the metal dust off. I don't. It's so infuriating.
They're all going to be flooded soon anyway.
Yeah. Including tonight. The rain's starting soon. Here's another local issue. The city council right now is trying to cut down on plastic utensils that we get for delivery and takeout. And they're proposing a law that would make it opt-in. So automatically, you're not going to get your fork, your knife, and your spoon, and your little tiny shitty napkin and a cellophane wrapper. Automatically, you have to ask for it. And apparently, a law in Los Angeles did this, and it saved about $3,000 a year per restaurant. And we're spending $42 million per year on waste management fees dealing with single-use disposable foodware. So it seems like a good thing. Will anybody miss the shitty fork, knife, and spoon?
Great idea. Next.
Mike?
I have another idea. $12 utensil tax, okay? And when you get the utensils, they're all metal for some reason, okay? That way we keep them, we wash them, it's in the game. All right, boom.
And where's the money going? Is it to the MTA or somewhere else?
No, that goes to the restaurants.
Okay,
that way they can upkeep the shit that's on the streets.
It's not that big a problem as it is. When I get that stuff, all you got to do is you just have a drawer in your kitchen where you just put the plastic stuff.
Everyone has that drawer. Yeah. This law would get rid of that drawer.
But then after like 6 months, all at once, you're like, oh, and you just throw it all, and you feel bad once instead of every time you order takeout.
Hey,
well, apparently.
Pro tip, have a child's birthday party, and then you take all the forks you've gotten and you put them in a cup, and they eat birthday cake.
I'm not gonna get my kid into the idea of having a birthday party.
Okay.
My kid's
right.
gonna
well,
know
that's
that
your
like
thing.
Where
that's
am
your
I supposed to get a kid?
Okay, you can borrow mine.
You can throw our kid's birthday party next year for sure.
Well, listen, hey, if the abortion law goes through, it will happen naturally.
You know,
and you'll
we
be
live
forced.
In New York. We're like,
yeah, you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
But apparently, the utensils are like not really recyclable either. Like I'm like I will click on Seamless or Grubhub or the. I try to like call or use the restaurant's personal website to so they avoid the fees. But I always try to say no utensils. They come because it's just like muscle memory. The workers put them in every time. And I like open up the cellophane. I save the napkin and we'll use the shitty napkin sometime. And then I put the utensils in my recycling. And I just read the article today about this. It says they're like so weird type of plastic or just the form factor. They don't get recycled.
Isn't like 5% of shit? Like plastic shit recycled. Isn't recycled.
Yeah, most plastic is not actually getting recycled. Like I'm like washing
it's
my Thai food.
Recycled
this
back
show
into
has
our
been
bodies.
So depressing.
I feel like I'm gonna go home.
Wait,
and
we
cry.
Haven't even talked about nanochemicals.
should we ban? There's an op-ed in the New York Times today about banning gas leaf blowers.
Those are legit very terrible.
They're horrible.
Ratio wise, they are the worst thing ever invented.
I didn't
invented.
Realize this until I saw the question. Yeah.
Let me tell you some things about gas leaf blowers.
But like gas smells incredible.
Most leaf blowers are gas.
Gas stations love the smell.
Most leaf blowers are gas. Apparently electrics are relatively new and they have like 40% of the market. So that's the solution, I guess. Gas leaf blowers spew out more pollution than an F-150 and produce about 100 decibels of sound. And 100 cities have already banned them. So there's a movement to ban
Hold
them.
On. More pollution than an F-1 over the course of what? Like 6
like
years?
I think ratio-wise, per minute. Like it's
what
they're
if you're
way
idling
worse than
an F-150 for a minute, or you're using a gas leaf blower for a minute, the gas leaf blower is worse.
Oh, are you kidding? That there's a
so that
Cuban is pro
right.
leaf blower. So it seems like
you're voting against him, or you're trying to stick up for the leaf blowers.
No.
Cuban, what's your capacity to be like ragefully angry about something?
An F-150 burns less is more fuel efficient than a leaf blower.
I didn't say fuel efficiency, but
Cuban
it more
is clearly
emissions.
A Q supporter because he believes in conspiracy theories.
I think per minute. Like, you know, if you use a gas leaf blower for a minute and your F-150
but
is run for a minute.
It's like body type or whatever you want to call
Why
it.
Why are you guys? Are you guys with big leaf blower? They're bad. Just take my word for it. They're bad
leaf blower.
They're
logically,
noisy.
I agree with Juben. It doesn't make sense
Jenna and me are sponsored by Big Leap.
So, okay, well, all right. I'll get more into what the article said about this. I actually do know the answer to this, which is because of like California emissions laws, which most states have adopted, there have been some efficiencies in automobiles. We're still using an internal combustion engine that's 100 years old, and hopefully we're getting rid of those soon because Elon Musk is going to save us all. But he's not really going to save us all because cars are the problem, whether they're electric or not.
Whose pocket are you in? I'm so confused.
Electric car is better than an internal combustion car, but no car is the best. But anyway, the gas leaf blowers, it's the kind of like two-chamber construction or whatever, it's this very antiquated thing that's never been updated, and it's really bad.
This is my thought on it. There should be a leaf blower tax.
How much?
$12.
Where's the money going?
Well, first of all, we're only taxing people below 60th Street, okay?
People below 60th and leaf blowers.
That's it, yeah. They're the only people that have lawns that need leaves blown. Listen, I'm from Harlem, never had it. You know what I mean? I had rakes and...
Oh, yeah.
We don't have lawns in Midtown Manhattan.
Wait a second. You live in the Bronx now. They have yards.
Yeah, listen, it's not about me right now. It's about below 60th Street, okay?
Next month, they're going to be like, wow, I can't believe Mike wrote those issues of becoming the mayor of New York. He'll rise from nowhere.
All right, I'm out of lighting questions. I think it's time to say goodnight and thank our panel.
Yes.
Thank you guys so much for coming out tonight to Two Beers In. Give it up for yourselves. Make sure you get home before the rain starts. We're going to have a few inches tonight, I think. Hopefully not all in 1 hour like the last time.
Yeah, literally every time it rains, we're like, this is the most rain ever recorded in the last 6 months.
And caveat, you guys are going to be flooded tonight, right? You're going to be 6 inches here? In this bar specifically?
Yeah. We are underground right now.
No survivors. Yeah. Wow.
All right, let's give it up for Zubin Prang, Jenna Friedman, Mike Brown, and Ali Horde, our fantastic panel. Come check out our next show. You can listen to this show and future shows on the podcast. Look up Two Beers In wherever you get your podcasts, and give us a review and a rating and all that. And do not forget to vote
in
midterm
elections. There's actually one very soon for New York City.
Well, there's a local election. I guess it's
midterm.
Well,
it's an
election.
Don't
forget to tune in for the mayoral debate.
That's right. Mike and Ali are running for mayor in 8 days, so get out and vote. Thanks, everybody. Have a great night.
Thank you. Cody and Charlie and a few of their friends.